In December 2022, when the civil rights lawsuit was filed against the City of Portland, Emmanuel Hospital, and Prosper Portland, previously known as the Portland Development Commission, or PDC, the suit garnered considerable press attention locally and even some nationally. The suit was brought by the firm of Ashley Albies, along with the Oregon Law Center and Oregon Legal Aid. This past week, I spoke with Bird, who is an organizer with the Emmanuel Displaced Persons Association 2, or EDPA 2, as well as a plaintiff in the case about the Central Albina neighborhood. And I also spoke with Kent Ford, co-founder of the Portland chapter of the Black Panther Party, who, though not a plaintiff, lived and worked in the neighborhood where he helped launch and support the Black Panther dental and medical clinics, which narrowly averted demolition in the early 70s. For a crash course in the history of Central Albina in the late 60s and early 70s, I highly recommend Mr. Ford's Power to the People Black Panther Legacy Tours of Albina. Notably, both Bird and Kent Ford spoke briefly, at least, about the role that Ira Keller played in the gentrification and displacement in Central Albina. Ira Keller was the chair of the Portland Development Commission from 1958 to 1972. In July, the city celebrated the reopening of the Ira Keller Fountain in Keller Fountain Park at Southwest 3rd Avenue and Clay Street. And in October, the city committed millions in funding for major renovations to the Keller Auditorium in the same block. According to a press release issued by the legal team, again, including Legal Aid Services of Oregon, Oregon Law Center, and the firm of Ashley Albies, quote, starting in the late 1950s and into the early 1970s, the city, Prosper Portland, then PDC, and Legacy Emmanuel acted in concert to forcibly displace hundreds of families from their homes and businesses in Central Albina. Between 1971 and 1973, the PDC demolished an estimated 188 properties, 158 of which were residential and 30 of which were commercial. And again, I'm reading from a press release by the legal team. Those properties were inhabited by approximately 88 families, 83 individuals, 23 businesses, 9 rental businesses, and 4 churches or community organizations. Of the 171 reported forcibly displaced households, 74% were Black, many of whom owned their homes free and clear. Again, that was from the press release, and I'm just going to read some from the text of the lawsuit itself. The text of the lawsuit, I think, is a really teachable text. It provides important insights into Portland history, and I'm just going to read a little section of it. So this case is about the intentional destruction of a thriving Black community in Central Albina under the pretense of facilitating a hospital expansion that never happened. Plaintiffs are 26 Black survivors and descendants of families whose homes were destroyed by the defendants, as well as an organization formed to help them seek justice. This horribly racist chapter from Portland's past has not closed, causing plaintiffs continuing harm in the form of an ongoing public nuisance. Further, the unjust enrichment of defendants flowing directly from the destructions of plaintiffs' former neighborhood continues to this day and will continue into the future unless abated. In addition, recently discovered information long concealed by defendants shows the contours of a conspiracy between defendants to deprive plaintiffs of their civil rights. And that recently discovered information, then the suit goes on to identify, quote, shows that urban renewal and blight were pretext for defendants' real motive, a racist desire to remove Black people from the economically valuable neighborhood of Central Albina. Over the decades and in recent years, the city, PDC, and Emmanuel have profited from this stolen land. Far from removing blight, defendants' concerted actions created a public nuisance that to this day has not been remedied and is causing plaintiffs continuing intergenerational harm. And I just want to make clear that Bird in particular was unable to say much about the lawsuit, given that it is ongoing. And I do think it needs to be stated that Emmanuel's involvement in this documented attack on Black wealth and workers constituted an unconscionable violation of the Hippocratic Oath, and it had to have had profound intergenerational health impacts on the families that were displaced, many of whom made use of the Black Panther Health Clinic. Even before they were displaced, many could not afford health insurance or the cost of being seen by doctors at Emmanuel. Here's Bird.
Was a thriving and prosperous community where people helped one another, where the experts were right there in your community. You didn't have to leave out for anything that you needed. It was self-sufficient, where it was, you know, it had its own economic base, its own political sort of power, social capital within, all within the confines of that space that we call Central Albina. And so it was a beautiful community where people felt loved. It was a community that accepted everyone. You had everything, a good, bad, or indifferent, and that's what community is. And so it was a platform for future. It was a platform and foundation for future prosperity. There were over 500 businesses that ran along Williams during that time, and in a very short period of time, too. I think like within 6 years of people having to move from Vanport to Central Albina, Williams Corridor, there were so many businesses within a 6 year period. The spirit of entrepreneurship was so high. It was just beautiful. When you talk to people who actually grew up there, it brings them to tears. And it's totally understandable, because when you just sort of imagine, had that prosperity been left alone, what that community could have been, you know, it's heartbreaking.
And you're making, mm-hmm. I think, some interesting connections to the Ira Keller, the new Ira Keller Auditorium that's being built, right? Because Ira Keller was the first head of the Portland Development Commission. You know, the implications of now having this auditorium named after Ira Keller, a new auditorium for Ira Keller?
I can speak to the history of Ira Keller and him being the head of PDC. You're correct. Ira Keller was the first person to run PDC, and a lot of neighborhoods were demolished in the spirit of urban renewal under his leadership, and the Central Albina demolition falls under that as well. So the Ira Keller Auditorium is named after Ira Keller, who ultimately was responsible for the demolition of our family homes.
Is there any organizing afoot to kind of call attention to that connection?
Not that I know of. We know that the serial forced removal of Black people in the city of Portland is something that occurs even to this day. And people, there is a high concentration of Black people in the poorest area of Multnomah County, which is Outer East. And it's not just me talking, those are stats. Those are, you know, that's what the data tells us. But people have relocated everywhere. People, mm-hmm. you know, people are relocated everywhere. Everywhere, Desiree.
And there also would have been people forced out by the introduction of the freeway entrance there as well, right?
The Minnesota Freeway, the Unthank Park, that's not one that we talk about, you know, very often, but Unthank Park, Lloyd Center, Memorial Coliseum, the Blanchard Building. I mean, yes, there's serial forced removal of Black people in the city of Portland is not an unfamiliar, unknown phenomena.
And here we are talking about, again, an I-5 expansion. Yeah, and clearly these were dynamics that weren't unique to Portland. They were kind of a nationwide attack on Black wealth and on Black workers.
Oh, definitely, particularly during the 60s and 70s when urban renewal was the thing of the day to, you know, and across this country, Black prosperity, political capital, social capital, all of those things were disrupted because of urban renewal. Central Albina was such a ideal, like so many communities around the country during the 60s and 70s. It was really what the American dream is all about. You had community, you had love, you had people working together, supporting one another. You had the idea of a future. And people were working to fulfill that ideal of a future. They were thinking ahead. And I think that is the element that always, that I always go back to when I think about this history, when I think about what happened in Portland and indeed all over this country. It was the fulfillment of a future. That's what I've latched on to. People wanted to have an economic base for their children, for their grandchildren. They wanted a home for their children, for their grandchildren and beyond. They wanted, a strong economic base right where they lived. It was for the future. It was about the future, an improved future, a better future, a prosperous future, a future that would allow generations to build on prior successes.
And here's Kent Ford.
Well, I remember back in 1971, 72, when it all first started, Armenian displacement, and we had a new administration in the city, new Goldsmith administration, but the gentrification had been taking place under the Trunk administration. He was the mayor, I think he had some heart problems and passed away. The new freeway there, the Fremont Bridge was going in and everything, and it was a thriving community down in there with factories, businesses, private homes, and it was all around the hospital there. It was total gentrification for the hospital, and we didn't know it at the time. Everybody was moving, and PDC set up a trailer. I remember as if it was yesterday about the trailer being on Emmanuel Hospital property. And they were recruiting people from the neighborhood to work for the Portland Development Commission, And then I remember the American Friends Service. They were on Rodney and Morrison Street. They had a house there, a two-story house there. And the guy's name was Bob Nelson. He's with the American Friends Service, And he went right along with it and made like he was for it, the good neoliberal transition guys, I'm for you, but... I'm really pulling with the city and stuff like that. That's pretty much what happened. And the next thing the factories start closing, things start moving out from pipe fitting plants, paint shops, mattresses, places, restaurants, Chinese restaurants, Louis, right there, Russell, and Williams. And then you had the stores, what we call convenience, the regular stores, people shopped there for decades. Barbecues, one particular barbecue place I remember really well was Scotty's Barbecue, where Old Timer had some of the best barbecue in town. And he moved out, what was so nice about the community was multiracial, multicultural, Asians, blacks. Whites, and it was really a multicultural neighborhood. Nobody told us about the treachery that was involved in it at the time, And we found this out years later, and everybody got displaced and had to move out. So I got a call one day at the health clinic there, and the guy met with us, and he gave us 2 weeks to get out. The next thing I know, PDC them broke into the health clinic the next morning and moving the stuff out. So that's where we moved the health clinic around the corner of Sacramento and Williams. And it was, apartment houses, private homes, and it was a thriving neighborhood down in there. Good people, really beautiful people.
Mr. Ford on Ira Keller.
Yeah, I never did actually meet him. I used to read about him. He was out of West Point. Staunch racist and white supremacy.
Many thanks to Bird, an organizer with EDPA2, and also a plaintiff in the civil rights lawsuit against the City of Portland, Emmanuel Hospital, and Prosper Portland, formerly known as the PDC. And thanks also to Mr. Kent Ford, co-founder of the Portland chapter of the Black Panther Party. This has been Desiree Helgers for the Olmo Variety Hour.